For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media, on Twitter at 717_sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.
I am Colin Richardson, and I'm back again with another baseball talk, LL Baseball Talk podcast episode. This is episode number 4, and we are now in week number 6. It's going by so quick. It's getting warmer. I love it all. Looking ahead to section races, as every single team in the league is now halfway to the finish line of their section play. So I'll talk about those section races. I'll talk about three or so teams in each section who are in spots to make leagues or very close to making it in each section. We'll talk about that. I'll talk about some alumni people who are doing really well in college, some graduates from LL schools who are doing really well for it. And then I'll preview some games for the next coming week of the 22nd, so we'll see how it goes. So I'm going to start off with each section race. So in Section 1, Hemphill leads it. They are 6-1 in Section 1 and 9-3 overall. Penn Manor is in second place as of now. They're 6-2 in Section 1 and 9-4 overall. Menheim Township, the Blue Streaks, are 5-3 and they're 6-4 overall. In Section 2, Ephrata leads Section 2, the defending Section 2 champs. They're 7-1 and 8-3 overall. Elizabethtown, they are 5-3 in Section 2 and 7 wins, 4 losses, and 1 tie to Mechanicsburg. And then Lampeter-Strasburg, the Pioneers, are in third place as of now. They're 5-3 in Section 2 and 7-4 overall. Moving on to Section 3, Donegal, the Indians, they're 7-1. In Section 3 and 9-3 overall. The defending Section 3 champions, Manheim Central Barons, they are 5-3 in Section 3 and they're 7-5. And then Garden Spot is sitting in the third place. They're from the outside looking in. They have 4 wins and 4 losses. They're 7-5 as well. And then in Section 4, Northern Lebanon, the Vikings, they are 8-0 in Section 4. Hello. And they're 11-1 overall. Lancaster Catholic, the defending Section 4 champs, they're 6-2, and then 6-2 in Section 4, and then 6-3 overall. The Braves of Pequay Valley, they are 5-3 in Section 4 and 7-5, so they're the team outside looking in. So that's all the section races. I'm going to talk about all those 12 teams and what they have ahead, some games that they've won, some games that they've lost. So I'll look ahead for all those teams. And then let's get to it. So first off in Section 1, Hemphill, like I said, they're 6-1. They've taken care of business, really, in Section 1. Their one loss was against Penn Manor at home on Tuesday the 16th of April. They lost it 4-3. It's sort of a heartbreaker for Penn Manor, or for Hemphill. They needed that win, but they got one back on Friday against Penn Manor, and then some. So I'll talk about Penn Manor now. They are 6-2 in Section 1. They have 3 one-run wins in Section 1 alone, and then they have 5 one-run wins overall. The heart rate in Penn Manor, probably through the roof every game. It's not easy for the Comets, but they win them. They do. So, you know, they're sitting in second place in Section 1, and they can make it. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. They beat Manheim Township both times that the teams have played by one run, and they beat Hemphill by one, like I said, on April 16th. So, Comets, man, we'll see how it ends up, but they're looking pretty good. Even though they've lost 3 in a row, they lost to Cedar Crest 11-4 for their first section loss, and then they lost on Friday the 19th to Hemphill 15-0. And then they lost on Saturday the 20th to Elizabethtown on a walk-off 6-5. So they're looking good. Hopefully they can get it back, get their wins back. We'll see. They play McCaskey. They travel to McCaskey on Monday, so we'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it keeps going as it gets warmer, and we'll see. And then the third team in Section 1, looking into Week 6, is Manheim Township. They're 5-3 in Section 1. They've taken care of business. They've taken care of the Cedar Crests and the McCaskies and the Warwicks. That's where they get their 5 wins. Like I said, they lost twice to Penn Manor, and they lost 8-2 to Hempfield the first time the teams played. Township lost it at home. So, Blue Streaks, they need a few wins. If they can salvage that game against Penn Manor the third time that those teams play, that would probably go pretty long way. If they can maybe get a win against Hempfield, maybe they'll win both. You know, we'll see. A lot of stuff could change, but as of now, Township is on the outside looking in. We'll see how that plays out for those three squads. And then in Section 2, Ephrata, they are 7-1 in Section 2. The defending Section 2 champs and defending league champs are looking to defend all that, and they're looking pretty strong doing it. Their average run differential in their 7 wins in the section is 7.42 runs. And then they're 6th in 6A. So they've had a few nail-biting wins. They had to beat Lebanon both times by 1 run. They beat them 2-1. They beat Lebanon 2-1 on April 8th. And then they beat Lebanon 5-4 on the 15th. I know that Ephrata was down to their final strike. And then they came back, got the lead, held it down in the bottom of the 7th. Heartbreaking loss for Lebanon, but a win that you really could, or a loss they really couldn't have for Ephrata, and they came back and won it. So they win, but in some of their games, they're just blowing teams out, winning by almost 8 runs a game in their section games. So looking pretty strong, the Mounts over there. And then the second team, as of now, in Section 2 is the Elizabethtown Bears. They're 5-3 in Section 2. So far this year, they've split with Lampeter Strasburg. They dropped a heartbreaker to LS 1-0 on April 15th. Penn State commit Isaiah Shader. He allowed 1 unearned run for LS. LS scratched it across in the 5th inning, and LS was able to hang on. But, you know, if E-Town would have won that game, they'd be pretty strong in Section 2. They'd have the season series over LS, but LS won it. A heartbreaking loss for E-Town. But, on the other hand, pretty good win for LS, all things considered. They had LS, now I'll talk about. They're 5-3, just like E-Town, and the teams are split, like I said. They lost to Ephrata twice, and they lost to E-Town once. Like I just talked about, they got that much-needed win, 1-0 over Elizabethtown to stay in the race, stay right in the race. And I know that I was there for that game. The Pioneers, I think their leadoff guy had a hit, and then I don't think that the Pioneers had a hit for the rest of the game. So a scrappy win, really scrappy win for LS, and they won it. So they're still right there in Section 2, they're looking for revenge, really, from last year. They lost to the team that I'd guess they hate the most, Ephrata, in the championship. So Section 2 will be fun as this week goes on, as playoffs loom closer and closer. And then in Section 3, talk about the Indians first. They're 7-1. Coming into Saturday's loss against Elko, they had 7 straight wins in section play. They came out of the gates burning hot. They had 7 wins in a row in Section 3, and they had 8 overall. They're still sitting great. They're still leading Section 3, and if they get back on it quickly, they'll be fine. And that loss to Elko could trip them up, but if they just keep winning, man, shouldn't be anything to worry about. Big thing that I put down for them is that they've taken 2 of 3 from Garden Spot, who is right on the cusp of Garden Spot. I'm saying they're right on the cusp of making Section 3. So I'll talk about them in a sec. We'll see how Section 3 plays out. But the Indians look like pretty heavy favorites to win Section 3. The second team in Section 3 as of now is the defending Section 3 champs from last year, Manheim Central. They're 5-3 in Section 3. They've taken care of the teams below them in the standings, but they've lost to Donegal once and they lost to Garden Spot twice, which the Garden Spot losses could hold a lot of weight at the end of the year. If the teams end with the same record, Garden Spot would take it because they've taken 2 of 3. So we'll see how it all plays out. They'll have their chances for revenge this coming week. The Barons will. They play Donegal on Monday. I travel to Donegal on Monday the 22nd. They host Elko on Wednesday, and then they host Garden Spot for the third game on Friday. So loaded week. You have all the teams that you're trying to beat right in front of you. So Manheim Central, this is your week to prove yourself, prove to yourselves. So we'll see how Section 3 plays out. It'll be fun. And then the third team in Section 3 right now is Garden Spot. They're sitting at 4-4, sitting at exactly 500 in Section 3. For their two wins, like I just said, they beat Manheim Central twice, they beat Elko once, and they beat Octorara once. They dropped a heartbreaker to both Cocalico, and then they lost to Elko. Both of those games were on walk-off hits. Cocalico won on April 10th, 2-1 over Garden Spot. And looking at it, if Garden Spot would have won that game against Cocalico or against Elko, really, they'd have a pretty solid, firm grip to be a top two team in Section 3. But since they lost it, Manheim Central, for the time being, is up there. So it'll be fun for that battle because Garden Spot didn't make it last year into league playoffs. It was Donegal and Manheim Central last year. So this will be another one fun to play. But another team that I'm going to talk about quick is Elko. They have quickly turned it around, like almost in a blink, really. They've won 4 of their last 5 games. They beat Garden Spot 5-4 on a walk-off, like I was sort of talking about, on April 15th. And then they beat Octorara on the 16th. They lost to Donegal on Wednesday, but then they got him back on Saturday. And they also run-ruled Octorara. And then, like I said, they beat Donegal 7-5 on Saturday. And all of a sudden, they're 4-4, and they're right there in the Section 3 race. And Coach Brad Kreiser, he's been doing great with those Raiders over there. He hasn't been playing tough, really. You don't go to Donegal and just beat them. But Elko, all of a sudden, just could. So happy for them. I'm really excited for him in his first year. Only up from here. They're sitting at exactly 500. They're 4-4 in Section 3 and then 5-5 overall. But I really want to see the Raiders be this team that could beat anybody at any time. They're a wild card, so I'm excited to see what Elko can do. Moving on to Section 4, Northern Lebanon, they have a pretty stranglehold on Section 4. They're 8-0 in Section 4, and they're 11-1 overall. They're one of the top teams in the whole league. They're winners of 9 straight games, including 8 wins in Section 4. They're obviously 8-0. The 3 of their last 5 wins have come by at least 10 runs. So that's a big thing because it saves pitching. It beats the teams that you need to beat, and it saves the pitching for some bigger games that you may have later in the week or in weeks ahead. Their only loss on the year was by 1 run to Camp Hill on the road, and they put up a great fight, I heard. So, Northern Lebanon, man, a lot of noise, a lot of weight that they can go deep in leagues and then in their 4A district playoffs. So, we'll see how that shakes out. And then the second team in Section 4 is the defending champions, Lancaster Catholic, the Crusaders, they're 6-2 in Section 4 and then 6-3 overall. Their losses in Section 4 were to Northern Lebanon and Pequay Valley. They snuck by versus Anvil Cleona on the 17th. They also snuck by Columbia on the 10th. They won on April 19th on against Pequay Valley. They won 5-1 on the road, and that was a win that they really needed to have because those teams split the series so far. I'll talk about Pequay Valley in a second, but Pequay Valley was able to steal the first time the teams played on the road. They beat them 2-0. So those two teams splitting that could go a long way in deciding who makes league playoffs in Section 4. Will it be Catholic? Will it be Pequay Valley? We'll see. And then I'll talk about Pequay Valley. The Braves, they are 5-3 in Section 4. They've won four straight section games before that loss to Lancaster Catholic on the 19th. What I've noticed about Pequay Valley is they don't allow a ton of runs. Looking at their numbers, they probably allow 4-ish runs per game. The most that they've allowed was 11 runs against Anvil Cleona. But if you look at these numbers, they don't let teams get more than 6 runs or so in a game, and that'll keep you in a lot of games. Their pitching staff seems like it's their strong suit so far, and that could go a long way against some of the better teams in the league, like Northern Lebanon, or in their section, like Northern Lebanon, Catholic, Cleona. So we'll see how it shuffles out. The Braves, interesting team. We'll see how it plays out for them. And that sort of reviews all four of the sections, all four of the races, how they're going, who's leading, who's doing this, you know. So now I will look ahead to some games that hold some real importance in the coming weeks of the 20, the coming week of the 22nd. So on Monday, Lancaster Catholic hosts Northern Lebanon. This is Lancaster Catholic's sort of chance to get their shot at Northern Lebanon because, you know, if Catholic can win this game, all of a sudden that Section 4 race tightens up a lot. Northern Lebanon would be handed their first loss. Lancaster Catholic would only be one game behind, and they have to play another time, so it could be really interesting for that. In Section 3, Donegal, like I sort of talked about earlier, also hosts Manheim Central. And if Manheim Central can pull that one out on the road, then Donegal, too, only leading by one game in that section. Now, they did beat them twice. So, no, they didn't yet. They play the second time Monday. So, we'll see how that goes. Could be a big game for both of those teams. On April 23rd, it feels like the first time in forever, pending no rain, hopefully, that there's only a few games and there's no rain makeup games. Now, these two games are from rain makeups, but I say that to say, hopefully, it doesn't rain on Monday. It doesn't look like it should. But the two games on Tuesday, the 23rd, LS hosts Central York, and Donegal hosts Elizabethtown in a pretty big rivalry game and pretty big game for both of those teams' district standings going into the rest of the week. So, you know, rivalry game, juices will be flowing. It'll be great. And we'll see who wins that. LS looking to stay focused against Central York too. Then on Wednesday, there is a pretty packed slate of games. Some of the bigger ones that really catch my eye. Hempfield hosts Manheim Township. Pequay Valley hosts Northern Lebanon. And that's a big one again for the Braves. It's sort of the same thing as Lancaster Catholic on Monday. So we'll see how it goes. Pequay Valley can pull it out, man. They're at home. Northern Lebanon's on the road. We'll see how it goes. Another one that's big on Wednesday is Manheim Central hosts Elko. Like I said, Manheim Central or Elko sort of turning their whole year around in a way. So we'll see. Manheim Central did take the first time that these teams played by a run rule of 16-6. So if Elko can scrap it out on the road, it could go a long way in sneaking into league playoffs. It'll be interesting to watch. Hopefully, again, hopefully no rain. There's no games on the 25th as of now. But then on Friday, we got another packed slate of games. Some of the bigger ones that stand out to me are Ephrata hosting LS under the lights at War Memorial. Ephrata has already taken the season series here, but if LS can win it, maybe they'll make leagues over Elizabethtown and maybe they'll get right back into winning Section 2. We'll see how it plays out. Lancaster Catholic also hosts Anvil Cleona. That's a game that Lancaster Catholic sort of needs to have. And if Anvil Cleona can take it, Cleona, the Dutchman, getting back into league playoffs. We'll see. It was fun to watch Section 4 last year for this reason. Lancaster Catholic won it, right? They were 15-0, sort of a done deal that they were going to win it. But then that second spot was so interesting to watch the whole year, and Northern Lebanon was the team who made it. And I find it funny that these teams have sort of flipped now, right? Northern Lebanon was in second place, Catholic won it, but now those teams flip this year. Northern Lebanon, pretty heavy favorites to win it. I'm not saying they're going to, but if I had to bet, I would bet Northern Lebanon to win it. And Lancaster Catholic is one of those teams fighting for that second spot with Pequot Valley. And with a few Anvil Cleona wins, Anvil Cleona would be right there in it. So it's always fun to watch that race in Section 4. So I say that to say that Lancaster Catholic Anvil Cleona game could be very interesting at the end of the year. So see how that goes. Donegal also hosts Elko on Friday. It's a rematch of that game on Saturday that Elko stole on the road. And big game for both teams. Again, if Elko can pull it out, man, you don't know. You don't know what those Raiders can do, man. And then in Section 3 as well, sort of all four teams who are looking to make leagues. Manheim Central hosting Garden Spot. Garden Spot has taken 2 of 3. But if Manheim Central can salvage it, then that could go a long way. And who makes that, playoff in Section 3? And that's a big district game for both of those teams too. And that previews the week of the 22nd to the 26th of games. And now I'm going to talk about some wins that I'm really happy for some teams that maybe you wouldn't expect to talk about all the time. So the first one that I'm going to talk about is Lancaster Mennonite. The Blazers. They have 2 wins on the year. They're 2-9. Okay? Not great, but it's one more win than last year. So I'm really happy for them to say that they're building for years to come in Section 4. Could be a force in a few years. Their 2 wins were really at the beginning of the year, but it's still 2 wins. So their first win of the year was on March 22nd against Antietam, 2-0 on the road. And if you remember, Antietam was the one game that Lancaster Mennonite won last year. So I'm happy for Lancaster Mennonite that they could win that one. And then they beat Tulpehocken High School. They beat them at home 16-15. But they won. 15 runs allowed, doesn't matter. They won. I'm happy for Lancaster Mennonite. It's good to see them grow. They've struggled in Section 4, but again, I'm just happy that they have 2 wins versus 1. 2 is greater than 1. So happy for Lancaster Mennonite. Another team that I'm really happy for in the league is Lebanon. Lebanon, they got their first win of the year against Solanco at home. They shut him out 2-0. So I'm happy for Coach Gonzalez up there and the rest of those Cedars up there. Seems like some really good stuff is going on in their football. So, I'm excited to see Lebanon High School as a whole, but I'm as a whole grow. But I'm really happy for Lebanon that they could get their first win over Solanco 2-0. So they had no wins last year, so I'm really happy to see them get this win. Again, 1 is greater than 0. happy for the Cedars. And I'm going to close it out this time by talking about some alumni guys. I have five alumni guys, including three Lancaster Lebanon League graduate players who are all teammates and start at Messiah College, who is doing really well, Messiah. So I'm going to talk about those three guys first. I'm going to start it off with Isaiah Perito. He went to Lampeter Strasburg. He has started all 35 games for Messiah. He has a 395 batting average. He has a 1.296 OPS. He is second on the team in home runs with 8. He has 12 doubles, 5 triples, and 33 RBIs. He also leads the team in runs scored. He has 19 stolen bases. He has been a beast in every explanation of the word beast. He has been it. Isaiah Perito, really happy for him. He was really good for LS, and I'm really happy to see him providing for Messiah in college. Second guy at Messiah is Drew Hurst. He graduated from Ephrata, and he was a big part of Ephrata's league title. He is a freshman at Messiah. He has started all 35 for Messiah as well. He has a 370 batting average, 982 OPS, 32 RBIs, 14 extra base hits. He is tied for the team lead with 51 hits. So I always remember growing up playing against this kid, Drew. He is a cool dude. He is a cool dude. But I'm happy to see him doing really well in college as well. Then the third guy who's doing really well for Messiah is Dylan Beard. He graduated from Cedar Crest. He has a 300 batting average, a 792 OPS, 25 runs scored, and he's started 34 of Messiah's 35 games. So I'm happy to see, well, it's cool to see one-third of a college team's lineup are from around here. I think that that is awesome, and it's inspiring to see in a way. Not to, you know, go play with all, making a little all-star team, but you know what I mean? It's just cool to see all these guys working together to play really well in college. I'm happy for all three of those guys. And then two other guys who I found who are doing really well in college is first Zach Schertzer. He graduated from Warwick and he is now at Mansfield University. He has started all 36 games for the Mountaineers up there. He's an OPS of 907. He leads the team with 43 hits. He is tied for the team lead in both home runs and RBIs. I think it's really cool because I remember hearing about this guy a lot growing up playing 12U, 14U. I think that's when he was in high school at Warwick. So really happy for him that he's doing well too for Mansfield. And then the last guy who is at Mount St. Mary's, he graduated from Anvil Cleona, and that is Tyler Long. He has started 34 games for them. He has an OPS of 849. He has 27 walks and 38 hits for Mount St. Mary's. And I say that to say that I'm really happy that all these guys are starting a ton of games and producing. Not only starting, but producing for their teams. And some of them have some really strong teams who are looking to make their playoffs as it comes up, as it gets warmer. This is the best time of year, no doubt, in my mind. So, section races are really heating up. These are some of the best weeks. They're the most stressful weeks for coaches and players, but they bring you some of the best games. We saw some of the best games this past week and in weeks ahead as league playoffs and district and maybe state playoffs, you never know. As they start to creep up, these games will only get better and better as time goes on. Teams will be really hungry to make it. Some teams who maybe didn't make it last year who are looking to make it this year. We'll see. It'll be really interesting. And that just about wraps up episode number 4. I love doing these episodes as we look ahead into week number 6, and I plan to keep doing these. So, yeah, check out my website at lanklebase.com and follow 717 Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're on all of them. Follow me on Twitter for Twitter X updates at ColinRich40. And I hope to see you at a ball game somewhere this week. There's a lot of games. I'll be running around everywhere. I love doing it. So check some games out. There'll be some really big ones. Don't forget to look at my website for when games are. And that just about does it. Thank you again for listening to Around the 717 podcast. I'm Colin Richardson, and I will see you next week.
For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media, on Twitter at 717_sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.